Good evening, James McCanny here with My Science. This is for May 6, 2021, and tonight, very, very important topic. I want you to listen all the way to the end of the show. First, a couple just news items just to get these out of the way. But the big topic tonight I will be talking about is an upgrade in my filter products. The JMCC water filter line has seen a, well, it's not even a facelift. It's a completely new product line. And this is something that had to happen. I'll just give you a quick introduction because I want you to understand this is a very important development. But you'll say, well, what was wrong with your old product line? Well, nothing. It was the best product line literally in existence. It was the best water filter. But there were some issues. They're ceramic, and it's very difficult to make ceramic filters. Now, I still offer these. If people like the ceramics, etc., I still have the manufacturing capability to make those, etc. But to expand, to grow, manufacturing ceramic is very difficult. And it's the traditional material that had been used since the Daltons made filters a long, long time ago. But it's very difficult to expand the business, to grow into a larger manufacturing base. So that was one of the big issues. And then secondly is they break. So in a business like mine where I do worldwide shipping, once you cross that border, well, even within the borders of the United States, it's pretty rough on anything that gets sent. And you have, you know, the machines are moving this product, the shipping industry, and they have to move it fast because they can't standard like in the old days. My dad, bless his soul, worked for the post office after he got out of the military, World War II, etc. He worked in a private industry job for a while. We were very poor. I mean, he made 75 cents an hour when I was a kid. And so anyway, he worked for the post office, but every piece of mail they would handle and look at it. Well, they can't do that today. They have to, they need machines. And so especially packages get whomped around and they're moving at 60 miles an hour. So good grief, you know. But ceramic is breakable, let's face it. And so that was one of the issues also. So I had to cure these issues. If I was going to upgrade to something, then I had to cure all of the issues that I had before. So anyway, I will be talking about this. And the product that I have now is, I would say it's like going from a rear-wheel drive automobile to a front-wheel drive automobile, if you understand how cars work. Some of you might just drive cars and you don't know the difference, but if you're old enough to have driven rear-wheel drive automobiles, especially in the snow or in rough conditions, you understand that front-wheel drive is superior. There's no question about it. So anyway, it's kind of the same. And so I'm still going to have the ceramic filters in my line and product line. But anyway, before I get into this, this is what I'm going to talk about on the show tonight and then some other topics. I'll be talking about the wing generator and some other conditions. But first of all, a few topics. Twitter. I had a Twitter account and I canceled it. I went in and I canceled it. I just got tired of their ridiculous, you know, it's supposed to be a platform for communication, etc. And it turned into a political football. And so I said, okay, I don't want to be any part of this. So I went into my account, I deactivated it, and I'm going to tell you how to deactivate your Twitter account. My very last tweet was, deactivate your Twitter account. I am doing it now. That's what my last tweet was. And so anyway, the way you do this, you can go online and search and it'll tell you how to deactivate your Twitter account. And what you actually do is you erase the content of your Twitter account. And within a number of days, because there's no content, they will delete your account. That's the way it works. You cannot go in and delete your account. They have to do it. So anyway, here is how you do it. You log into your Twitter account. At the top, no, over on the left-hand side, I don't think it's at the top left, but scroll down a little bit. There's some bullet points, and then there's a circle with three dots horizontally in the circle. That's what you click on. Okay, then it says settings and privacy. That's the next thing you click on. Then deactivate your account. Deactivate your account, and then click on deactivate. And at the bottom, click deactivate again. So you're going to click on deactivate three times. And then Twitter, like I say, in a couple of days will erase your account or will terminate your account and apparently erase all your content or whatever from their private memory. So what you're doing is you're going in and you're deactivating your account, which takes it offline. That's what you're doing. And they will then, in a couple of days, actually just get rid of it. And I imagine all of your content will be stored someplace permanently. So I think everything that happens on Twitter, just like Facebook, etc., goes into some big government database someplace, you know, under a mountain in Boulder, Colorado, or somewhere off in Nevada, or who knows where up in Utah, who knows where they keep all that stuff. But that was what I said. So just, yeah, get rid of your Twitter account. Send those guys packing. Just a quick note here, keeping up on some of the items going on in outer space. Elon Musk is building a rocket, and he's gotten a contract from NASA to put men on the moon by 2024. And, of course, that's a nice deal for NASA because then they can say, hey, look what we did. But then they really didn't do anything. The issue, however, is that nobody has sent anybody or anything or any spacecraft or any test vehicles to the moon. I mean, excuse me, boys and girls, but there's a lot of space between here and the moon, and there's some radiation hazards, amongst other things, going on relative to going to the moon. You're landing in an environment that has no atmosphere and a lot of dust. The dust is also electrified because there's no blockage of the radiation from the sun. And, there's many, many issues that you could run into going to the moon. So I would just suggest that it might behoove people to maybe take a test run before you start sticking people on the plane, the big spaceship plane, and sending them off to the moon. And also maybe to send some tests, maybe animals like a gerbil or, maybe a lab rat or something through the radiation belt with a camera to see actually what happens. And I guarantee you they're going to be real surprised. They did send the astronauts on the space shuttle up into an orbit that was about 500 miles, which just touches the lower edge of the radiation belts, of the Van Allen radiation belts. And they started to, if you touched a Van de Graaff drum, and now if you've ever been in a physics laboratory, it's one of the things that people play with. It's not really it's not a good toy to play with, but people do it. I've done it. But it's a Van de Graaff generator. You know, it's a round ball on top of a tube, and it's got the rubber belt going up and down in an electric motor, and it makes that buzzing sound, and it's charging up the ball. And so anyway, if you put your hand on the ball before it starts charging, you will charge up to that potential also. And then your hair will start standing straight out. And then eventually, if you turned the lights off, you would see electricity coming off the ends of your hair on your head and off your fingertips, etc. The astronauts in the space shuttle started having this effect. They were having electricity come off of their eyebrows and out of their hair, which meant that they were being charged electrically relative to the environment. So anyway, like I say, it would behoove people in charge of this. You know, it's not like sending 60 Starlink satellites up into orbit. Nobody has gone outside of the Van Allen belts. And we are told that the Apollo astronauts did, and that there was no dire effects. They all lived to ripe old ages. These guys, that 18 of them that went to the moon and came back. Of the 18, 12 landed on the moon, we are told. And, you know, it's just like no big deal. But you send an astronaut up into just a little bit high Earth orbit, and all kinds of things start happening. And the Apollo astronauts are on film as saying that they never experienced anything, including the rays that come through the eyes. When the cosmic rays come through the eyes and make tracers, you would see, like, it would cause rays in your vision. You would see it just like on, if say you had a television set and it looked like there were these streaks of light coming in, just zipping across the screen. That's what it would look like. And so none of them ever recall seeing this, which tells me that they didn't go through the Van Allen belts. Even to begin with, they were in low Earth orbit the whole time. That's whatever. It's not the issue. The issue is now we're dealing with people that are going to go to the moon, talking about to going to the moon. That's only a couple years away. I mean, we're halfway through, or a third of the way, let me be specific. We're a third of the way through 2021. And so 2024 is like 22, 23, 24. Count, on your fingers. That's about a little over 3 years away. That's not a very long time to put everything together to send people to the moon. But the thing is, you need some test runs. You just send them. But what's interesting is they're now testing the moon rocket, or the big one, the Starship, so it's called. And so, I mean, I wish everybody the best of luck, but it just seems like they're getting, they're trying to run before they walk, or maybe sprint before they crawl. It would be possibly a better analogy. But anyway, we'll see. That's something I'm going to follow. And I'll be following that and talking about that on this show. Congratulations to Elon Musk delivering the astronauts to the space station with, a very successful launch and recovering the parts of the rocket that are recoverable, etc. That's something that NASA could not do. NASA could not build its own rocket. The last rockets that were built were back in the 60s. And so, and since that time, NASA has not really built rockets. They've subcontracted. The space shuttle was a subcontracted thing. The boosters, remember, were subcontracted to a company, and the other parts of the shuttle were subcontracted, etc. But NASA really has not built anything since Wernher von Braun was around. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. That's something to follow. But if it weren't for Elon Musk and SpaceX, there would not be a space program at all right now. Okay. Now, there are big efforts to halt wind projects around the country and around the world. And a couple of them have come to my attention this past week. So there are organizations that are very, very well organized to stop wind energy from being deployed. Now, of course, I liken this, what I'm doing, coming up with the JMCC wing generator, which actually does work. It's like following a bad vaudeville act. Back in the old days of vaudeville comedy, if a bad actor came out on the stage, the people would boo and throw tomatoes and lettuce and vegetables at the stage. And so the old expression is, don't follow a bad vaudeville act. And unfortunately, that's what I'm forced in doing and coming up with the wing generator, which is a very good product. It works. But it's following the three-blade wind turbine, which everybody's discovering now doesn't work. It doesn't produce. The only reason it's there is because of government subsidies. And so what I have to do, literally, is join forces with the people that will force three-blade wind turbines out of business, stop the subsidies, all of that. And then in place of that, let them understand that there is a system that does work. And all of the objections they have, the unsightliness, the fact that these things cover thousands of acres, the three-blade wind turbines cover thousands of acres and are unsightly, and they kill birds and eagles and all the other horrific things. They catch fire. They set out high EMF it affects the local people, etc. My systems don't do that. So anyway, it's kind of like one of those things that definitely I want to join hand in hand with the people fighting to block wind from being installed. And these people, a lot of them cases, they're trying to install them in their backyards or nearby. And there again, the wing generator is not going to be in somebody's backyard unless they put it there themselves. If somebody on a ranch or a farm puts on a wing generator, then that's great. That's because they choose to. It's on their property. They're out on a farm or a ranch. They're in the wide open spaces, and they're not affecting other people. But when we start talking about the big wing generators, then those will not be in somebody's backyard, and there's not going to be thousands of them in a big field. There's going to be one or two, and they're going to be off in the distance where you probably won't ever even see them, and we know where those places are. Okay, so anyway, this world is very strange, and they say that truth is stranger than fiction. That it really applies today, no matter where you look. Also, in previous shows, I've been talking about the COVID thing, political issues, things like that. I am just completely staying away from that. On John Moore's show, some people tried to get me to talk about various things, COVID and things, and I'm just backed out of all of that. I tried for 4 years to be vocal, to be a scientist with a voice, and at this point, like I said on John Moore's show, I think that the only thing that can really turn the world around now is a major catastrophe, something like, a worldwide catastrophe, and I'm not going to name off types of catastrophe because there's so many that could potentially happen, but it would take a worldwide major catastrophe, a real one, not a false flag catastrophe, but a real catastrophe, to take the world and shake it down to the point where the people are just, living out in their land in the country, and they have their sheep and they got their goats and they got their chickens, and some of them survive, and it's so devastating that all the banking facilities, etc., go under. But we know from past history, just a caveat, that the bankers have survived these things and come out the other end multiple times. They know that for example, the Egyptian secret societies, when Plato's uncle went back, Solon, went back to Egypt when Greece was a very young nation, and asked the Egyptian priest cults, or you could call them cults, or the secret societies of priests in Egypt. And they said, what about the history of the world? Where did people come from? What's this, where did we come from, and etc.? And the Egyptian knowledgeable people told Solon that there was a great catastrophe, and that not only was there one, but there was, over the past 10,000 years, there was five great catastrophes of different types, that every time they got up and running, they would then be just shut down by these major catastrophes. But in that, the secret societies managed to maintain and come out the other side and install the usury banking system on the other end and start the process all over again. So the key here is to shut down usury, banking usury. And if you did that, that would probably solve probably about 99% of all the problems in the world. Usury, fake money, this goes back thousands of years. Okay, So on to the next topic. And now I'm just going to spend the rest of the show talking about my upgraded water filter product line. Now, in the past, I called my water filters the JMCC GF water filters. GF were the letters. And there's some reasons, some marketing reasons, some scientific reasons for that. So the new series of filters that I'm coming out with now are called HF filters. And let me just go through some of the issues here. Like I say, I'll just repeat a little bit of what I talked about at the beginning of the show. When I tried to grow, and I know a lot of people have ordered from me in the past, and it took a while to fulfill orders and things like that. And most people are very patient. Not, I would say, over the course of 20 years since I've been selling filters, not many people have canceled orders. It's very, very rare. But here's the issue. I don't like being late on orders, but here's something else I'll say. I've never missed shipping an order in the 20 years I've been in business. And, there's any business has ups and downs. And, supply issues, things like that. And even through all of the COVID stuff, I have not missed any orders. The manufacturing has continued, etc. But the whole issue comes down to one simple thing, is that there's a very large demand now because my filters are the best ones on the market. And so my primary the thing I sell on my webpage are filter elements, replacement elements. And so the issue is, how do you grow? And here's another thing that's coming along right now. So I'll just try and lay out all the pieces so you understand the logic here. The PFAS, these are called the forever chemicals, are... there are laws being passed, federal laws. There are states like, I think it's Maryland and Vermont and a bunch of the northeastern states are passing laws with minimum standards regarding these chemicals in the water supply for schools, for hospitals, for public buildings, for municipal water supplies, etc. And so the idea is that you have to get this stuff out of the water. It's dangerous, and it's in the water on an atomic level. It's at a molecular level. So how do you get this out of the water? Well, my filters already take it out. It's one of the things they do. But then here's the issue. Given my production ability of the ceramic filters, how do I produce filters that I can produce a lot of, because there's a huge public need. You want to extract these at the municipal water facility, but you also want people to do this at home, because say you're living out on a farm and you have a well. Well, these are in the well water. They're everywhere. Because let me explain where they came from. It's primarily Teflon and other chemicals that was used in camping gear, in all kinds of waterproofing products back in the 1990s, etc., and Teflon. And remember, the two things that came out of NASA is Teflon and Tang, and it turns out that both of them are really bad for you. Anyway, excuse me, that's a bad joke. Anyway, whatever. But the Teflon was one of the primary sources of these chemicals, so that when mom's washing the dishes in the sink, back in the 90s, or maybe dad was washing the, I better be woke here. Maybe dad was washing the dishes too, or maybe even the kids were washing dishes, whatever. But they had a Teflon pan or Teflon coating on some, and eventually that all wore off. Well, all of that went into the water table. And that was used in industrial applications, in paint, just all over the place. So you had massive amounts of these chemicals going into the water table. And so eventually the entire United States now is polluted with this stuff. And so the legislative bodies are jumping on the bandwagon. Now the whole thing, pretty soon all the states will have PFAS laws regarding minimal standards, etc. So that means that everybody is going to need a water filter. And, I mean, the demand is huge. Well, with my ceramic filters, there's no way to make enough. Manufacturing ceramic filters is very, very difficult. It's a long process. It's a very involved process. It's a very good process. It works. But it's not prone to massive, large manufacturing. So that was one of my issues. How do I grow? How do I meet these markets to help people? And so, okay, that's issue number one. Shipping a ceramic filter, now the breakage is pretty minimal, but here's the issue. Mainly, I've been shipping using UPS, because UPS has done pretty good about not breaking stuff completely, and so it gets to the end customer, but the cost of shipping for water filters sometimes is $35. I mean, and I have free shipping, so I'm paying that. So when you get free shipping, it's like you went to the store and bought these. You're not going to buy my filters in any stores. But if you did, and, you know, there would be no shipping involved, so what I'm doing is sending these out free shipping. I'm picking up the tab on $30 to $35 shipping for four filter elements. That's insane. It used to be under $10, which, okay, you can live with that. You know, I'll pay with that. But now it's up to $30, $35. Okay, gloves are off. Can't do that anymore. And so that was another issue. So I stopped using postal shipping because they broke everything. Everything arrived broken at with the post office. And the post office would be less expensive. But anyway, so there's a shipping issue, is what I'm saying. Now, if you start shipping internationally, now you got a real problem, because if it arrives broken, here's this poor customer that's probably just waited 2 months to get their product. They open up the box and it's smashed, you know, and then they go back and it's a big mess. It's a giant mess if the stuff gets broken, and stuff does get broken when it's shipped internationally. And so I have an international business. What am I going to do? I try and cater. I don't have a sign on my webpage, you know, but I do charge people that are in Alaska, Hawaii, and foreign markets. I do charge them more because the cost of shipping to those remote places is really high. So I do charge the customer for those locations. But anyway, shipping ceramic filters is expensive and it has risk because of shipping. Okay, so that's another issue. There are some other issues. I'm not going to go into all of these. There's things in the background that don't have to talk about. But anyway, I said, okay, self, I have to cure these problems and come up with a solution. So I went to work. This has been going on off and on for a long time now. And so I came up with a product that the casing replaces the ceramic casing, okay? And it has to be the same standard, fits in gravity filters, etc. Because and then people ask this, will your filters fit into gravity water filters? It turns out that when Dalton, back in the 90s, went to the stainless steel containers, they set the standard. And they also set the standard for the hole size, so that as people broke off and started making other different types of filter elements, etc., everybody kept that same hole size that was in the original Dalton filter. And I sold Dalton's. That was the very first filter I sold. And no, it wasn't the very first one, but it was one of the first ones I sold. And they're still on the market. They're a good filter. They don't remove much in terms of chemicals, but they're the original. They had the seal of the Queen in England going back into the 1800s. They were the original ceramic filter manufacturers. They had the Royal Crown seal on their product, and they were the only one in England that could make it. And the story is that back in the 1800s, as the cities started growing in England, people were getting sick because they were basically peeing and pooping in the water system and went into the rivers, people were drinking that water and getting sick. Well, it's because bacteria was growing and they didn't really understand. But Mr. Dalton was making yard ornaments out. In fact, part of what I'm going to talk about tonight is the history of water filtration. So you get a little shot of history here. I hope I have enough time to get all of this in. So anyway, this Mr. Dalton in England was making yard ceramic monuments. And people would buy them and put them in their yard, you know, like ducks or like a little cow or something like that. And he noticed that the water that passed through the ceramic, you could drink it without getting sick. So he started making filters. And the first ceramic filters were just a container where the water would seep through. And then they kept modifying the design. And they finally got to the design where the filter elements were replaceable. And that's where this whole idea of the replaceable filter element came from. And the Queen was so elated with this because the people were no longer getting sick that she gave Dalton the royal seal, which means he had the right to produce that product in England and nobody else. Okay, so anyway, that's the original Dalton. And I sold the Dalton filters, but when Dalton's went to the stainless steel container, which then many other brands, there's, you know, many other brands out there selling stainless steel containers. By the way, nobody has stainless steel containers anymore, including myself. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that towards the end of the show if I have time. So anyway, what I did personally was to get terracotta containers. And there again, you're dealing with ceramic that's hard to manufacture. It's hard to manufacture in quantities. And the delays in shipping product to customers. So there's another solution that I have that's coming online very soon to replace the terracotta filters. And so anyway, I'm not going to talk about the details here, but it's something there again to meet a mass market. And so I'm not going to spill the beans on this show because some of my competitors might be listening. Gee, I wonder if that could happen. So at any rate, back to the idea of water filtration. So the Daltons were the first ones to make the ceramic replaceable water filter elements. And so then around the late 2000s, there was the millennium bug kind of mental crisis, like everybody was going to die. It was like it was before Planet X became a big issue. In fact, Planet X became a big issue just right on the heels of the 2000 millennium bug. Remember, that was when all the computers were supposed to roll over with the millennium, and then all the computer systems were going to shut down. We were all going to die. Well, anyway, there were a lot of water filters sold at that time, and Dalton was the primary one available. So at that point, there were some offshoots that came along, and people created their own filter elements, some of which are still being sold today. That's a block of carbon packing material is what it is. They're black. I won't mention names. But they're really lacking in what they do. Before you use them, in fact, I sold these for a while. You have to have add-on filters just to remove fluoride and arsenic and heavy metals. You have to have a very expensive add-on filter that doesn't last very long. And plus you have to reverse prime these things. You have to pump water backwards through these black carbon filters before they will work. So what do? You contaminate the filter before you even put it in your water filter. Anyway, and plus they're not cleanable. I learned this in one of the big floods. I took it to a flooding area. I took my ceramic filters and I took some of these other black carbon filters and poured sludge water from the flood into them. The ceramic filters were cleanable. You could re-clean them and still filter water, whereas the black carbon ones were not cleanable. They plugged up. There was no way to clean them, and you had to throw them away. So they really didn't work in a real emergency. In a serious emergency, they don't work. Plus, like I say, you have to have the add-on filters. They're very expensive. They don't take a lot of the chemicals, and they have very short lifetimes on certain chemicals, etc. So that's where I was selling the Dalton water filters And this is where, about the time frame, maybe the late 2008 to 2009, where the JMCC GF filter elements were born. It took the quality of the ceramic filter, which had a very small pore size, which was a true filter. It actually, when particles were bigger than the hole size in the filter, it would stop them and filter them out. So it was a true filter. And so anyway, that was the first stage. Then the second stage, there were two more stages. Then in the middle of the hollow ceramic filter was a medium. And the medium then removed chemicals. And so anyway, that medium is the formula for that medium is a secret. It's a trade secret. And then there was a third filter that prevented anything that was then in the filter from getting into the water. In other words, there's an issue that your filter could become the source of pollution. And there are some filters out there that do that. So anyway, you have to have a final filter that prevents anything that got trapped in the filter from getting into the water as the water goes out the little tube at the bottom. Okay, so anyway, that's where the JMCC GF water filters were born. And I've literally been selling those for over 10 years. Very successfully, they come in now the imperial size. And by the way, the imperial size will be going away with the new filter elements. One filter element will, there's only one size. And they have a very good flow rate, so you don't need the imperials. But at any rate, and that's good for me too, because that reduces the amount of stock, etc., and manufacturing. But at any rate, that's where the GF filter elements came from. And so they were successfully manufactured, and they're still being manufactured today. The same exact process, and they have been the best water filters on the market, bar none. Nothing else can touch them because it takes out all of the chemicals, all of the pollutants, takes out all the filtration, the stuff bigger than the pore size, etc. It takes everything out in one filter element. There's no add-on filter. All the fluoride, all the arsenic, all the chloramines and the glyphosates from Roundup, all of the volatile organic chemicals, all the heavy metals, everything is taken out in one filter element, and it leaves the minerals go through. So this is a targeted, very intelligent filter, and the minerals go through because you need mineralized water. The pH of the water that comes out of my filters, the GF water filters, is the correct pH for the human body. And so, I mean, this is a really top-of-the-line technology. It has been. Nobody else has anything that can compare at all. Everybody else needs an add-on filter just to remove arsenic and fluoride. Everybody else. So that puts mine head and shoulders above. Okay, so anyway, this is some of the history, and right now a lot of people are using the black carbon filters. So if you see something that's black, and it's a solid piece, it looks like foam, it feels like foam, that's the black carbon filters. And you need add-on, they don't say it very loudly, because if they really told you the truth, if you have some of these, and if you purchased some, or if you know somebody that did, the reality is that if they really told you the truth, you would have to add an add-on filter at the bottom of these to remove arsenic and fluoride and heavy metals and all kinds of other things. A lot of volatile chemicals are not taken out in the main filter. But the add-on filter is $39. That costs more than one of my GF water filters that takes everything out, and that's just the add-on filter, and the add-on filter only lasts for 500 gallons, and then it's used up. And so anyway, if you have two water filters in your gravity water filter container, you put two of those on there, that's 39 times two. That's $78, plus the cost of your two carbon filters, which are usually about $100 a pair. you've got nearly $200 just in filter elements in there. And in a lot of cases, the add-on filter slows down the water flow, so it doesn't really flow very fast. You get drip, drip, very slow drip, 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 and it takes forever to filter the water. And now, to make sure you're taking all the material, the volatile organic chemicals or fluoride, etc., you have to change these every 1,000 gallons, because you got two of them, that's 500 gallons each, that's 1,000 gallons. But the main filter, say, lasts for 2,000 gallons. Now you've got to replace those twice during the lifetime of your main filters. So now you're talking almost $300 just for filter elements, and they don't work as good as mine, which costs $169 for four of them. You know, I mean, it's just insane. Mine are so much less expensive. They are so much better that it's really a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Okay, so anyway, fast forward to May 6, 2021. I'm going from the JMCC GF filters, which, like I say, those are the ceramics. Those are the ones that you've been buying previously. I'm going to the JMCC HI filters. That's the new designation for this new filter set. And so why is this happening? Number one, the outer casing is not breakable. You could take the outer case and take it and whack it on the edge of the table, and it's going to keep operating. It's much more stable. There have been people who have broken the ceramics, and it's really not people's fault. They just don't follow the instructions. But the ceramic one, you had to hold by the plastic base as you tightened it into the container. And if you didn't, if you tried to hold the ceramic part, you could, if you put enough pressure on it, you could twist it off and break it. And so that won't happen with the new ones. The HI filters will not do that. So they're much more robust. That means they can ship internationally. And the other thing is I can make these in quantities. Okay, so now let's talk about the properties of the filter itself. And here's also some differences. The consistency in what you call in any filter, the pore size is the thing that you really have to go by, because you have to have a very consistent pore size on the outside casing, because that's what filters out the gunk, literally the stuff that's in the water, the silt, the dust, the bacteria, etc. So you go down to a 0.1 micron size, which is small. And it's small enough that it'll trap some viruses. Now, I'm not advertising that it takes out viruses, because then you start getting into an area, because there are some viruses that are really, really small. And so these are pathogens, etc. And so the outside filter is not going to, I'm not going to advertise that it removes viruses, but it removes any bacteria that exists, etc. And then you might ask the question, what do you do if, in case of viruses? There is a solution. The point is that the outside casing is very consistent down to 0.1 micron. And so that's something that's a manufacturing process, that the outside casing, the new outside casing of the HI filters, is equal to or better than the GF filters. So, and then people are saying, well, what if I got these GF filters in stock? I have places where I'm going to continue using the GF filters for forever, because they're really good filters. The other thing about the new HI filters is that now this is an issue, and it's only in certain areas. Certain water supplies have gas in them. And I've had this issue with people, and they say, my water still has this smell to it. Well, the new HI filters have cured that, because part of the component of the internal part of the filter is now upgraded to remove those gases in some of those rare places where you have gas in the water. It's mixed in the water, and the old GF filters did not remove that. It's not a poison. It's not harmful to you, but it's just kind of like it's kind of obnoxious, let's put it that way. And I've had people throughout, not many, but I've had people throughout my history of selling water filters, they say, I put in your water filters and the water still has this funny smell to it. Well, that's the gas. That's gas that's in the water, but the new HI filters will take that out. It'll take out the gases that are mixed in there. And there's a number of other benefits to the mixture that's in the HI filter that has not been in the GF filters. And so it'll help in certain rare instances, but it's safe to say that all the properties of the GF filter are transformed into the HI filter. All the technology in the medium, which is a proprietary mixture, goes into the HI filter, plus some additional things to help some of those people with additional problems. The other thing is there's more of the medium in the HI filters. There's a bigger cavity because the ceramic takes up a certain amount of space. And so the casing of the new HI filters is thinner. It's a thinner casing. And so there's more of the medium that goes in the middle. And so that's an improvement too. So you can see it's like I said at the beginning, it's like going from a rear-wheel drive car to a front-wheel drive car. There was nothing wrong with your rear-wheel drive car. It got you around just fine. But this is life in the big city. I mean, this is the way car manufacturers, if you have any kind of product, computers is a good example. If you went out and bought a computer today, you would want it to be a step above the computer that you would have bought last year. It's just the way things are. And so now my products are going to be literally light years ahead of anything anybody is selling out there at all. There's going to be nobody that can touch what I'm selling, the HI filters. And so from this point forward, the people that have ordered recently will be getting HI filters. And here's the thing. As I said, the need here in this country is enormous. And there's nobody that's going to be able to fill this need. The HI filters, if I start working with, if you know people that are in, say, your municipality or something like that, now I'm going to take another step forward here. And the whole house water filters, here's another thing that's coming along. And the whole house water filter containers that I sell, the stainless steel, are going to be the exact same as they used to be. However, the filter elements are going to change from ceramic, the 20-inch ceramic filters for the whole house water filter, I'm changing to the HI technology. And so that's happening. Anybody that orders in the future is going to be getting the new HI technology in the filter housings that go in the filter elements that go into the housing. There's five of them. And so the flow rates are the same. The lifetime of the filter is going to increase a bit. But there again, this is a technology innovation that took a long time to put together. And so there again, people might be saying, well, I bought these ceramic filters from you. They are excellent. What I was selling before was top of the line, better than anything anybody else was selling anyplace. And now the HI filters are going to be basically replacing those. And this is a very important announcement because there again, imagine the number of people in houses across the United States that need filtration, and the ceramic filters, you cannot produce that many of them. I'll still be selling them because there might be people who just they like the ceramic. They have a, it's like there are people still driving 1950 Mustangs around because they liked them. They're used to that. They like the vehicle, and that's the way it is. So I will still have access and still be manufacturing the GF filter elements. But primarily what you'll see are the HI filter elements for the gravity and for the whole house water filters. And then also along this same line and going along with the wing generator, now there's a lot of places in the world, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because there might be people out there who are familiar with situations that might be in foreign countries, it might be on islands, it might be a religious group that you know of, say a missionary that's from Africa, and they have a problem with their water, and they have a large-scale problem. Well, my filters, I can go from the gravity filters, which is for personal house use. In a third-world country, that would be enough for 10 people. To have a gravity water filter so they'd have clean drinking water in the kitchen, etc., for brushing their teeth, etc. But then you start getting up to the whole house water filter. It has a flow rate of about 12 gallons per minute. That's a pretty good flow rate. So if you have an industrial use or if you have a house or whatever, the flow rate is sufficient to support an average suburban house. Easily, or two of them, literally. You always want to overbuild a bit when you're installing equipment like this. But then I also have very large-scale equipment, and I'm not going to talk about the details of that other than to tell people that if you know of a municipality that has they have to upgrade their water system, have them get a hold of me, because I can supply the equipment for them. And like I say, I'm not going to go into detail because for the average person, it's a lot of technical details. I would have to deal directly with the municipality or the entity, a business. It might be a business that's making pop or beer or might be indoor grow facility or something like that where they're growing vegetables indoors, and they need to get those PFAS chemicals out of the water before they grow their crops, or even washing vegetables. Say it's a vegetable processing place and they have to wash their vegetables, etc., with PFAS free water, because this is for the public. I mean, this is all over the place now. And so I have products to fill all of these needs, is what I'm saying, at all different levels, from the small up to the very large. And the very large units have up to 10,000 liters per day type of capacity. And so these are very big units that also require power. And the reason I mentioned the wing generator is because in some remote countries, there might be a situation where they just don't have enough power. They would like to have their water cleaned, but it takes a lot of power to do this. So that's where the wing generator comes in to provide the power to clean their water. So in many, many years ago, decades ago, literally now, I realized that the future was in energy and in water, and I realized that the three-blade wind turbines and the solar panels didn't work. And so I positioned myself in front of those two fields, energy and water. And now, of course, I sell the grow towers. So I've added on this other aspect of food, of growing food with low water requirements, low space requirements for high volume production of food. And in a confined space, like in a warehouse or whatever, then you would need grow lights. Well, where do you get the energy for the grow lights? From the wing generator. So all of this fits together. Then you need the clean water. You need the clean water for agriculture, etc. And so all of my products fit together to provide world solutions, for real solutions for the world in the area of energy, water, and food. High-volume food production in small areas. Okay, and so in summary, I just want to remind you that if you go to somebody else's webpage, and especially if they're selling the black carbon filters, you're going to find that you get two of them for about $120 to $140, something like that. And that does not include the add-on filters. Remember that for each of those two black filters that you buy, you're going to have to buy four or six of the add-on filters, which are $39 a piece. So you're talking about close to $300 to $350 for two water filter elements, whereas mine are in the range of $170, $169, including shipping, for four that take out everything, literally a lot more in the two filter elements. I mean, this is just really a no-brainer that my products are by far the far and away light years ahead of any of the competition. So with that, it's a very exciting night for me to be able to announce the new HI filters, JMCC HI filters. And like I say, if people are still interested in the GF filters, I'll still have those around. But the new filters are going to allow me all of these advantages from a marketing standpoint. And also, it's going to help a lot more people. The shipping is going to be much easier. The packaging requirement is much less. And on and on. I mean, the number of things, and there's many things that I'm not talking about here. For example, are they cleanable? Yes, the new filters are cleanable. You just wipe them clean on the outside, and they're ready to go. The ceramic filters were cleanable. You simply wipe them on the outside with a Scotch-Brite pad or with a, you could scrape them with, I've used a butter knife. You just scrape off just a fine layer of ceramic on the outside, and they were good to go. There were people, I met a family that I had given some filters to in the tropics. This is in a third world country. And it was like 10 years later, they were still using the same ceramic filters because they didn't have a chemical problem. It was just silt and things like that in their water. They were still using the same ceramic filters 10 years later, and they were whittled way down to almost nothing, but they were still using them effectively. And the new filters, you just, like I say, wipe them with a clean rag, any buildup that's on them, and they're cleanable. So all of the properties of the old GF filters transform into the new filter, plus some other benefits that'll benefit some people. Anyway, I'm very excited about this. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. People are buying the grow towers. People are buying the water filters, which are still on sale, etc. So you can see all of this on my webpage, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.